I have eaten now at Miss Ollie's, your restaurant, I don't know, 6 or 7 times.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta say, if your restaurant was a record, if it was an album, it would just be like wall-to-wall hits. It's just all singles. Like, I've never had a dud dish.
That's our contributor, Ali Bouzard. And one of the many things I love about Ali is that he is a literal doctor of food science. And he comes up with ideas for chefs for 3 Michelin star restaurants. But at his heart, he's just happy to be a fan of people. And he was talking to the chef, Sarah Kiernan, of Miss Ollie's, a Caribbean restaurant in Oakland. Sarah's from London, her family's from Barbados, but lately she's felt more and more at home in her travels to Haiti. Now, Haiti is a seriously maligned place, right? It's basically only ever talked about in American media as a disaster site or like it's some fantasy horror movie come to life. But Ali and Sarah talked about what inspires her there as a chef and a person. And their conversation is really worth a listen.
You seem to just kind of move really fluidly around different Caribbean influences. And I don't know, it just seems like you are very comfortable borrowing and sharing food that stems from ideas all around the Caribbean. And I was just curious, is there something about the Caribbean as a geographic location where there's all this trade and there's all this intermingling that makes people a little bit less stodgy about what region and who claims ownership to what technique or what kind of dish?
I like what you just said, stodgy, because it's I think if you look at the Caribbean, it's not many places. We really come from one place, mm-hmm. which is the motherland, Africa. And so when you break that up in the diaspora, things will change and things will look different. And you can say, oh, I'm from Barbados, or my mother's from Antigua, or my father's from this place, blah, blah, blah. We really still stem from one particular place.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been taken from that place and we've been spread throughout the world. And we use whatever we have at hand. So for me, I think that translates being comfortable in the sense that I'm not afraid to use what's on hand and make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And that the way I was taught how to cook wasn't a set of rules, but it was more about being fluid and being comfortable with just putting something together and making it work.
Yeah. So you spent a lot of time in Haiti over the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that you took away from those visits was becoming more familiar with Haitian voodoo.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you've been brought into this community and this religion. Can you talk about just how that came about?
It was a New Year's resolution.
Really?
I would say, yeah. 2 years ago, I was with my partner and some friends, and we were sort of looking into 2018. And I said, I'm going to Haiti. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know immediately what was going to happen, but I knew I had to make that journey. And as soon as I announced that and put that out into the world, everything fell into place. A friend of mine who I'd not seen in a couple of years, who was from Haiti, he walked back into my life. He said he was going to Haiti at the same time that I was, and I went with him, and everything unfolded from there. And making a resolution of going to Haiti for a vacation for 2 weeks turned into me finding out my ancestral rights, who I am as a person in terms of a chef, who I am spiritually, who my forefathers were, where they came from, and what my purpose is in life.
Mm-hmm.
And that keeps changing every day from this trip that I took to Haiti.
That's amazing.
I'm in this place right now that I'm following a path that was ancestrally handed to me.
Mm.
And it's not just about having a restaurant feeding people. It's about shifting and shifting what is right for the people of my tribe and where I come from.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm learning about myself and I'm learning about what food means in that and how food heals and how we can shift the world around that. And that, like, sometimes when I hear myself say that, I'm like, that just sounds like really Californian. but it's in the context of like that if you really sit with yourself and know who you are and know what you want, all of these things will play out. And that's what to me that trip to Haiti did and is continuing to do for me.
You did mention some really interesting techniques of mm-hmm. people, especially in Haiti, I think probably in the Caribbean in general, where there's just not a lot of land to mm-hmm. have, like, livestock.
Mm-hmm.
Nose-to-tail cooking is not even, I'm sure, a phrase, because that's just cooking.
Right.
And you mentioned something with cow skin, with mm-hmm. the hide of beef. Mm-hmm. That was a technique I've never heard about before. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So when I was in La Tortilla, which is the island off of the coast of western Haiti that I went to, there was a sacrifice of a bull, and every part of that bull was consumed. And I'd never seen this before, where they took the hide, because I was like, oh, that hide's going to make a beautiful floor piece or whatever. Mm-hmm. No, it was dried out, and then it was rolled, and then it was cut really fine, and it was added to soup and made into a stew.
So just julienne cowhide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they burnt it to burn the hair off of uh-huh. it. And then it was, it was rolled, and then it was cut, and it was put into a stew. They have just eaten this entire beast.
Yep.
In a way that I've never seen that. It was a marvelous moment to see people just taking this animal and making everything into a meal.
That's amazing.
That everybody, when they ate that, like, honored it before they ate it.
Yeah. You're nourishing and being nourished. And mm-hmm. that's where that's coming from.
Yeah.
I think the pop culture sensationalism around Haitian voodoo and, mm-hmm. and that culture, and there's so much to unpack, and we're just going to be scratching around in the topsoil mm-hmm. if we try to dig too far into that. But
right.
one thing that I find really interesting is so much of it centers around animals
mm-hmm.
and whether you're capturing the beautiful, just purely spiritual side of feeding people and what a whole animal can bring to that.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like there's also just so much to do with plants,
yeah.
with herbs and vegetables and mm-hmm. fruits and foraging and making teas and all that yeah. sort of stuff. Can you talk a little bit about the relationship to plants within this community and this experience?
For me, in La Tortilla, I mean, they claim to have over 300 different types of mangoes. And we went hiking one day, and they were able to show me, like, just the markings on the base of the tree of what made that mango different from the next mango.
Oh, wow.
You know, cassava, which you guys call yuca, like breadfruit. I mean, everything was literally, if we wanted it, it was picked immediately and brought to the table.
Hmm.
And it's like, you know, when people think of Haiti, they think of starvation, poverty. But I went to a place and I had never seen such plentiness or bountifulness mm-hmm. in the way that they honored food. You know what I mean? Everybody sat down in the morning and had breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had lunch together.
Mm-hmm.
Food was blessed before it was eaten. This is a small island, like I said, off the coast of Haiti. We went swimming, and there's clams at the bottom of the water. There's octopus. They're like, everything is coming to you immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, that was just like, That was like wealth in itself. Do you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
The
living in a small 4x4 room or whatever, sleeping on a mango leaf mat as a bed or whatever, all of that balanced out with the amount of love that was in food and like tea, like sour orange tea in the morning. Everything mm-hmm. had a purpose. Do you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? Sour orange is consumed after like spiritual Bembe is when it cleans the system out. Do you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? So you've consumed all this rum when you're doing all this initiation work, and then the next morning you have like sour orange tea because it cleanses and moves everything from your body. So everything has a purpose. Does that make sense?
Oh,
like
totally.
Everything that is brought to you, consumed, is for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, not only does it make sense, but when we talk about travel to a new food culture, a new culture in general, it's always talking about what all these people do differently, wherever
mm-hmm.
you are.
Right.
And it's so interesting, like this notion of foraging and
mm-hmm.
how fetishized that is right now
yeah.
in our world, in the chef community.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of so universal that it's not really even a thing.
Right.
There is just living in a place, knowing all the names of the plants.
And picking them.
And picking them. and have a feeling of...
It's called gardening.
I like that. Sarah Kiernan, thanks for coming in and chatting with me.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah Kiernan is chef of Miss Ali's in Oakland, California. Ali Buzari is the author of Ingredient, Unveiling the Essential Elements of Food.